He has not eaten food or drunk water, is unable to swallow anything. Before light failed, he stripped the tent of all military objects, all bomb disposal equipment, stripped all insignia off his uniform. Before lying down, he undid the turban and combed his hair out and tied it up into a topknot and lay back. Saw the light on the skin of the tent slowly disperse, his eyes holding on to the last blue of light, hearing the drop of wind in windlessness and then hearing the swerve of the hawks as their wings thudded, and all the delicate noises of the air. He feels all the winds of the world have been sucked into Asia. He steps away from the many small bombs of his career towards a bomb the size, it seems, of a city, so vast it lets the living witness the death of the population around them. He knows nothing about the weapon, whether it was a sudden assault of metal and explosion, or if boiling air scoured itself towards and through anything human. All he knows is, he feels he can no longer let anything approach him, cannot eat the food or even drink from a puddle on a stone bench on the terrace. He does not feel he can draw a match out of his bag and fire the lamp, for he believes the lamp will ignite everything. In the tent, before the light evaporated, he had brought out the photograph of his family and gazed at it. His name is Kirpal Singh, and he does not know what he is doing here. He stands now under the trees in the August heat, unturbaned, wearing only a kurta. He carries nothing in his hands, just walks alongside the outline of hedges, his bare feet on the grass or on terrace stone or on the ash of an old bonfire. His body alive in its sleeplessness, standing on the edge of a great valley of Europe. In the early morning she sees him standing beside the tent. During the evening she had watched for some light among the trees. Each of them in the villa had eaten alone that night, the Englishman eating nothing. Now she sees the sapper's arm sweep out and the canvas walls collapse on themselves like a sail. He turns and comes towards the house, climbs the steps onto the terrace and disappears. In the chapel he moves past the burned pews towards the apse, where under a tarpaulin, weighted down with branches, is the motorbike. He begins dragging the covering off the machine. He crouches down by the bike and begins nuzzling oil into the sprockets and cogs. When Hannah comes into the roofless chapel, he is sitting there, leaning his back and head against the wheel. Kip. He says nothing, looking through her. Kip, it's me. What did we have to do with it? He is a stone in front of her. She kneels down to his level and leans forward into him, the side of her head against his chest, holding herself like that. A beating heart. When his stillness doesn't alter, she rolls back onto her knees.